And even as I was praying, tonight the word the Lord wants to speak to us is the faithful, the faithful. Yes, that is what he taught me. He told me to speak and taught me the faithful. So, who are the faithful? The book of Revelation records in Revelation chapter number 17 that those who are in the army of the Lamb, they are the faithful ones. We will come to that scripture at the end part of the sermon. But what is faithful? How to be faithful? What is the definition to be faithful? Now, there are two definitions, and those two definitions at the same time are the criteria for one to be faithful. Okay, so the first definition, let me give you the revelation first, and then let us go into the explanation. The first definition of the faithful is obeying and serving the Lord by fulfilling your commitments. Obeying and serving the Lord by fulfilling your commitments selflessly, without eye service, without guaranteed benefits. That is the meaning to be faithful. What? Obeying and serving the Lord by fulfilling your commitments towards Him selflessly, without eye service, and without guaranteed benefits. Okay, just write it down and then we will go to the scriptures. The second definition of faithful is a person who has passed the test of the furnace of refinement. That is the second definition of the faithful. A person who has passed the test of the furnace of refinement. Okay, so at the same time, the definition of faithful, the meaning of to be faithful, these are the two criteria to be faithful. Only those, if you want to be called the faithful of God, the faithful of God, these two criteria need to be fulfilled. So let us start off with the first one. The first one is obeying and serving the Lord by fulfilling your commitments towards Him selflessly, without eye service, and without guaranteed benefits. Let's go to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 22 to 25. Verse number 22 to 25. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That is the meaning of faithfulness. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid or what he has done, and that is for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So one of the aspect of the first definition of faithfulness is we can only be faithful when we do our work without eye service. What is eye service? Eye service is, oh, you know what? I will do that work in the church because the pastor assigned me work. If some intercessory sister assigned you work, you will not do it. But the pastor, you know what? I want to make the pastor happy and I want to portray myself as a very good believer, as a very good member of the church to the pastor. So when the pastor said it, that person will do it. He is not doing his work for the Lord. He is doing that work to please men. And even if he has done the work properly, he is not faithful because he did the work to do eye service and not as to the Lord in secret. Every work that is assigned to us, it has to be in secret to the Lord and not to please men. not to draw benefit of honor and appreciation towards us, but it has to be to the Lord and not as eye service to men. That is one of the aspects of the first definition of to be faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, that is what the Bible says. That even when we work in the office, we are not pleasing our boss. We are working in the office to please the Lord. That's why we hold our integrity. When we work in the office and we are not pleasing the boss, we are working. Lord, are you happy? Am I pleasing you? That is faithfulness. Everything that you do is for the glory of God. That is to be faithful. You fulfill your commitments to the Lord to please him. That is to be faithful. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? I was speaking to one sister and she said, you know what? I have committed to the Lord to be in this meeting. So whatever I do, wherever I am, I will be in that meeting. It's not even a commitment to you, Pastor. It is a commitment to the Lord I have made. And if I am not there, I can't miss it because it's a commitment. I have to fulfill it. That is faithfulness to the Lord. Are we understanding? Okay, let's go ahead. Luke chapter number 17. You know, I have been in Christendom for around 12 years, and I have heard a lot of preachers and a lot of sermons, but I have never ever seen any preacher preach or even take or refer to the scripture that I am telling you now. I have never seen any preacher or heard any preacher rather refer to the scripture, which is in Luke chapter number 17. Let's go there. But when I was a Christian, this scripture was always in my heart. When I am a Christian, I began to walk with God from my young age, at the age of 19. This scripture was always the meditation of my heart until now. I always remember the scripture. And when I was preparing for today, the Lord brought the scripture to me to teach it and to use it tonight. Okay. So in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 17, and verse number 5 onwards. Listen to this now, very carefully. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Have you heard this parable anytime from anywhere? Yes, that is what Jesus is saying. And that parable is coming with a revelation of increasing our faith with the context of increasing the authority in our voice. So the apostles told Jesus, increase our faith. And Jesus told them, if you have a faith as with authority, you can command this mulberry tree to be uprooted, to be pulled out, and to be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. But that authority will come to you when you become a faithful servant. Now, what is the parable he uses to define the faithful servant? He uses the parable of the master of who tends the sheep, the master of the field and the servant who tends the sheep and plows the field for him. That is the scripture. And he says, you know, when the master comes to his house, what he will tell the servant? You know what? Cook the food for me and prepare the drink and the food for me and let me eat. After I have eaten, then you can eat. And he says, does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Have you weaved the work of God in that perspective? That we should continue to do what we are supposed to do. Because I have seen people in Christendom, if they lift a chair in the church and keep it there, if they do something that morning in the church, they want some kind of honor from it. If there is no honor and appreciation, they will stop doing that work. But the Lord Jesus is teaching about faithfulness. He is saying that when you have done your duty, you have just done your duty. No appreciation is required. No honor is required. Just do your duty. That does not mean God will not give you anything, reward you anything. He will not reward you with appreciations and honey and all those things from the mouths of people. But when you serve the Lord faithfully, without eye service, without expecting guaranteed benefits, what will happen to you is He will not give you honor, appreciation at that time. But what will happen to you is He will increase the authority. He will increase your authority. Hallelujah. And if you speak to a mulberry tree, be uprooted from this place and be planted in the sea, it will obey you. Hallelujah. People of God, are you there? Amen. Faithfulness.
Amen.
Do you understand? Amen. Faithfulness. That is what the definition I gave you. Obeying and serving the Lord by fulfilling your commitments towards Him selflessly, without eye service, without guaranteed benefits. Are we understanding now? Have you heard this parable anytime? No one uses this. I have never heard the parable, I'm telling you. Because people don't want to use the... Jesus is teaching us something. He's saying what you are assigned to do, do it faithfully. Not expecting a red carpet every time you do something for the Lord. We want to do less for the Lord and expect more from the Lord. That is how Christians have become. Once a family contacted me from India, and they were from a other Hindu background, and I prayed for their son who was paralyzed, who was crippled, and there was so many changes in their family. But the Lord told me, I will not heal their son completely until this family surrenders completely to me. They have not yet surrendered completely to me. That's why I have not healed their son completely, made him well, because still they are going to idol worship. And I told them that. And after coming to the church for 3 weeks, they told, oh, we came to the church for 3 weeks. Nothing is happening. We attended the meeting for 3 weeks. Nothing is happening. Are you doing a great thing for God by coming to the church? It's nothing compared to what Jesus did for you on the cross. Hallelujah. He took the pain of hell, the suffering of hell on His body. His flesh was torn apart. And every drop of His blood finished up in His body. There was water coming out of His body. And not only that, before He had to carry the cross, before that night, He did not even sleep. He did not even sleep. He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the drops of His sweat were like blood because of the mental pressure upon Him. And here we are. We cannot sleep. We are on the TV. We cannot sleep one night. And the next morning we say, oh, we don't want to go to the church. That is not faithfulness. Listen to me. People are amazed. Oh, you know, that person has a lot of gifts. That person can see in the spirit. That person has the gift of healing. Oh, when he prays for people, people get healed. I am not impressed by all those things. Even if a person does not have any gifts, I see if a person is faithful. That is the greatest requirement. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? We complain so much to God. Lord, this is not happening. That is not happening. You know, I pray. Ask yourself a question. Are you faithful? Have you served God without eye service, selflessly, without expecting anything? Many people have a lot of things, but they don't have authority in their voice. They don't have authority in their voice. Why? Because there is no evidence of faithfulness. They go to the church. They also pray. But there is selfishness attached to it. There is some expectation attached to it. But Jesus taught in this parable, when the servant has served the master with food and water and drink, the master will not appreciate the servant. He will just go. And then the servant has to eat. Is there any appreciation? Jesus says, I don't think so. And when you have done all things that were commanded to you, just say, we are unprofitable servants. We have just done our duty for our master. That is what Jesus is teaching. Hallelujah. And tonight I want to bring that aspect of faithfulness. Don't think that, oh, you know what? We will keep on serving God and he will keep on making us serve him. No, it's not like that. God looks and tests a person, the test of faithfulness. The Bible says Jesus did not teach as the scribes and the Pharisees taught. When he taught, there was authority in his teaching. There was authority in what he taught. You know why? Because he was faithful in all the household of God. Hallelujah. Let me take you to a verse in the book of Numbers. I have not noted it down. I hope I find it out now. It's in the book of Numbers. Yes, it's in the book of Numbers, chapter number 12. Numbers, chapter number 12. Verse number 6. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is what? Faithful. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Wow. Hallelujah. God is speaking here to Miriam and Aaron. You know the story. They started to complain about Moses and go against Moses and all those things. But God is speaking here and he's saying, if there is a prophet among you, a gifted prophet, he gets visions and dreams from me, prophetic visions and dreams, but not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. And I speak to him not in riddles. I speak to him as a man speaks to a man face to face, not with dark sayings. Hallelujah. You know what? It's true that, you know, the gospel everywhere, they say God loves everyone. Some pastors say, oh, all of you are equal. Everyone is at the same level. That's not true. Yes, God loves everyone, but God does not prefers to speak to everyone face to face. Hallelujah. God includes only those in intimacy who are faithful. Who are faithful. People of God, it's not, you know, I carry the gifts. I carry the prophetic gift and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I operate in gifts, but I know it's not about my gifts. It's about faithfulness to God. It's about faithfulness to God. Hallelujah. God said, Moses, how could you speak against Moses? Because Moses, my servant, is faithful in all my household. If there is a prophet, I will speak to him in dreams and vision, I will use him, but Moses is my servant. You see, whenever God dresses Moses, even when Moses died, God told Joshua, Joshua, Moses, my servant, because Moses was faithful in the house of God. Moses was faithful in the house of God. Many people are serving God because they don't got a job in the secular world. They don't got a job in the secular company. So they become a pastor, because when you become a pastor for an organization, you get a large chunk of money every month. So the motivation to serve God is the money, is the salary, is the livelihood, is the career. That is not faithfulness. Faithfulness is when you serve God selflessly. Oh God, you know, I was going through something and I saw a pastor posting something, and this pastor gave his, he's not a pastor now. He's not a pastor. He has left the pastorship because he said, at a young age, at 21, I decided, this is his testimony. This is his testimony. He said, at a young age, at the age of 20, 21, maybe at that age, not exactly I know, but at that age, I decided to get married, and he got married with a beautiful girl. And at the age of 22, he decided, he joined a church and became a pastor there on salary basis. So that church sent him from Australia to England, and there he became a pastor. He had certain, I think $53,000 a year was his salary. $55,000 a year was his salary. And he said, as a pastor, that salary would not suffice my needs, because I wanted to travel, I wanted to buy expensive things, I wanted, because I had my beautiful wife, I had my children and all those things. So I, along with the pastorship, along with the salary, I started to put a room on Airbnb. And the first room I put on Airbnb brought an income of $500 a day, something like that. And so I went ahead with that business and started to put more rooms on Airbnb. And he started to prosper. So he decided to leave serving God. And he completely went into the business of Airbnb. And he says, now, you know what? Now my life is better. Because if I spend money, I don't even have to think about it. I just spend money because I am now an owner of many Airbnbs. And I left the pastor thing. He said, that's his testimony. That's his testimony. That is how many people look at God. Let's try God for 5 years. And if we don't become rich, let's try something else. And the same person is standing on the pulpit and speaking, who has this mindset. He's not the faithful of God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people? I'm teaching. We have not even started yet. Okay, stay with me. I'm teaching about the faithful. When you are faithful, that's why these people don't have any authority. They will speak in a church and people will look at the time when he will finish up. He is boring us because no authority. 10 minutes he starts to speak, people will look, when will he finish? This guy finish? Oh my God. People will think, when will, they will not say, but the congregation, when will this pastor finish up? Because nothing is that, no authority. But Jesus said, if you want authority in your voice, you need to be faithful. Hallelujah. Do we see that? Okay, stay with me. So, Luke chapter number 17, 5 to 10 that we read, the parable speaks about when you have served the master, just you have done your duty. Don't expect any appreciation from the master. I have seen people serving in the church, and when no one recognizes them, they stop serving in the church, or they even stop coming to the church because there is no something called as a recognition for them there. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Are we understanding till now? So God would test us if we are faithful or not. And if we are faithful, he will not give us honey. Too much honey is bad for your sugar levels. Too much sweet. So he will not give you sugar. He will not give you sweets. What he will do to you is, without even appreciating you or bringing honor upon you, he will, without your knowledge, increase your authority. That is the reward for faithfulness. Reward for faithfulness is not many people bringing, "Oh, brother, you are so sweet. Brother, you are fantastic. Brother, you are a great preacher. Brother, you..." No, not that. The reward for faithfulness is increase in authority. And I am telling you that increase in authority is more valuable than praise from people and appreciation and recognition from your pastor. Do we see that? Hallelujah. Many people are becoming leaders in the church or worshipers in the church because they please the pastor. And these are the people who have not passed the test of faithfulness and don't have any authority in their voice, any authority through their lives. Okay, let's go ahead to next verse, Matthew's chapter number 25. Hallelujah. Matthew's 25. Verse number 14 to 19. Matthew's 25, verse number 14 to 29. Let's start off. It's a big passage of scripture. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to their own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful.'" Underline that. "Faithful servant. You were faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Okay. "He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful again over a few. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look there, you have what is yours.' Mm-hmm. But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and I gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." Hallelujah. So let's go into what is the meaning of the parable. The plain meaning of the parable is the master who went to a far country is the Lord Jesus. And the servants are the children of God, or the servants of God, or we his people, whom he gave talents. To the first one, then 3 or 2, how many? 2 to the second one, and 1 to the third one. That is the talents he gave to the 3 servants. Now the thing is, let us start off with the third servant. Now the third servant was not faithful because he was selfish. The third servant, verse 24 and 25, that we read. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Okay, so this is why his explanation of not working on the talent. Why? Because he told the master, Master, I know you. You know what? What if I worked on the talent and gained more talents from it, it would not be mine. I know how you are. You don't work and you take the talents that others have worked on. That is how you are. So I know how you are, that if I put my hard work to work on the talent, I will not receive any benefits from me, from that. I will not receive any profit from that. Hallelujah. So I will only work on something where I receive something. I will not work on something where I have not been assured of guaranteed benefits. Are you understanding? That is a selfish man. He only wanted to serve when he would receive guaranteed returns and benefits. But the other two servants, did the master say, work on these talents and you will get some rewards? You will get whatever you earn from it? No, he did not say anything. He just said, work on it, and he went. That is how Jesus is. That is how Jesus is. He will not force, he will not tell you, you know what, you serve me and I will give you a big house, you will get this in 2 days, you will get that in 1 week. He will not tell you all those things. He will just say, follow me. He will just say, walk with me. He will just say, go to the place where I am taking you. He will just say, obey this word. That's it. That is how the master is. He will not give you explanations that, oh, you know what, when you go there, I will give you a beautiful wife. I will give you $10,000 salary per month, and this and that, guaranteed benefits. He will not explain you. He will just tell you, do this. And because he wants to test you, if you love him with all his heart or not, if you are faithful towards him or not. That is how the master is. And this third servant did not work on the talent because he said, I know I will not get anything out of it. I will only work on the things and the assignments where I am getting my profit. As a Christian, do you do like that? You know what? I will only go to the prayer meeting if I receive miracles in my life. If something is happening, I will go. If something is not happening, why will I go? That is an unprofitable servant who did not brought any profit to the master. I will not even work on the talent. Everyone, God has given us talents. Every Christian, God has given us talents. Are you faithful? Oh God. Hallelujah. You know what? I am not going to repeat myself again, and I don't like to repeat myself. I don't know, when you are sitting in this meeting, don't do something else also. Don't be multitasking. You are giving God second or the third importance. You have to concentrate on the word of God here. I'm not talking about people who are working in the office at the same time. Not about them. Who are sitting in their home and who are in this meeting. At the same time, there is another preacher speaking on the TV next to you. Or there is something going on the television, on the radio. That is not faithfulness. That is not respect for God. I'm not telling you to respect me. Respect the presence of God. Respect God. And that's why things don't happen in your life. And you tell 1,000 people to pray and nothing happens, because there is no reverence for God, no faithfulness to God, any which ways. Let me come to the scripture. Hallelujah. So, this third servant is will not work for anything where he does not receive returns. And that's what he's saying. Master, I knew You will give to me, and you will reap from the field where you have not worked. I have to work here, and then you will reap from it. So that's why I did not work on the talent. So he was a selfish servant, and then he only wanted to serve when he would receive guaranteed benefits. And thirdly, he wanted to prosper independently and not under the authority of the master. Yes. He want to, you know, it is like I did not work on the talent, because if you wanted me to work on the talent, whatever I earned from the talent, I want you to give me the, I want to use it as per my own authority, as per my own will. I don't want you to come and take an account from me. I want to prosper independent of you. Do you see that? Yes. That is the third flaw, the third negative negativity in that servant, that he wanted to prosper independent of the authority of the master. He did not want the master, okay, what you worked on, what are the talents, I will give you whatever you need to take. He did not want that. He wanted that I take the talent, I work on it. If I get 10 talents from it, 5 talents from it, I do whatever I want with it. I don't want to be accountable to the master. I don't want to report back to the master. I don't want to stay under the authority of the master. You see that? Hallelujah. But the other two servants, when the master came, they brought, master, the 5 talents you gave me, I have gained more 5 talents of it. And to them, to that person, the master says, well done, good and what? Faithful servant. You were faithful over a few. What is the assignment the Lord gave you? And are you faithful in it? The assignment will not start off with preaching. If you start an assignment of faithfulness, every assignment from God will start off small. It will not start big. Everything that God gives you will start small. It will not start big. Christians have the wrong mindset. Christians have the wrong mindset. When I start serving God, I want to have a big church. When I'm worshiping God and praying, I want to have a big business. I want to have a lot of money. It will never start off like that. Before God gives you a business which has a turnover of $10 million, before God gives you that big business, He will give you a business which has a turnover of $1,000. And then that business which has a turnover of $1,000, He will see if you are working to men or if you are working as to the Lord faithfully, listening to Him, knowing every time, giving your tithes. You know, there is a great man of God. And he now his ministry has grown and he has become, you know, a great man of God. And when he was growing, he used to do ministry. And one of the places he went, by his ministry, a rich man was impressed by him, by his ministry. So the rich man offered him a large chunk of money. I don't know, so I don't want to quote how much money, but the rich man offered him to give him the offering of a large chunk of money, maybe in millions of dollars. Now that money, if he received that offering, okay, if he received that offering, he wouldn't even have to depend on the tithes and offering of the church. Because for years, his ministry and his life will move on with that amount of money. But this man feared God. So he went to the Lord and told, Lord, you know, that man is giving me offering. Should I receive it, Lord? And the Lord told him, you know, the man is giving you offering. I have nothing to do with the man, or I am nothing against with the man who is giving you offering. But this is not the time for you to receive that offering, because I want you to teach your church on giving. Because the Lord told him, if you receive that offering, you will become rich. but your church will stay poor. But I want you to teach your church to give. I want you to teach your congregation to give. And through that giving, let my house prosper. And at the same time, those people will also prosper. But if you receive that offering, you know, you will lose on teaching people to give, because your ministry will go on without the people giving in the kingdom of God. Are you understanding? So the man obeyed God. And you know, so he went to the man, he said respectfully, you know, I asked God, but for certain reasons, God told me not to take, but I God bless you. I pray for you. And then he started doing what God told him. He taught the church to give faithfully. Giving is also an act of faithfulness. Do you know that? He taught the church to give faithfully. Give faithfully the tithes and offering. And when they gave, the house of God, there was no lack in the ministry. And at the same time, the people who gave started to prosper, started to become rich. Do you understand the ways of God is the way of the faithful? The way of God is the way of faithfulness. Hallelujah. Amen. Do we understand that? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The whole salary that I receive from my company, everything belongs to the Lord. I am a steward over it. And I am working and managing it. And when I increase it, I bring the increase to the Lord. And I tell the Lord, Lord, I worked on it and it increased. The Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. I release more to you. Your salary was, your business turnover was $100,000. Because you were faithful, I will make it $5,000, $5,000 a month. Then you work faithfully and tell, Lord, I report to you. I give my tithes and offering to you. Hallelujah. You know, I don't want to go in tithes and offering, but I've already spoke on it and taught on it. Certain things that I want to reiterate on tithes and offering is sow into the right field. Let me again clarify something here. For those people who are just going to the church for attendance sake, but this is the ministry that is helping you grow and praying for you and interceding for you, and you are getting delivered and many things are happening through this spirit ministry. But you supposed to give the tithes to the house where you are receiving the deliverance against the devourer. That is what Malachi chapter number 3 says. Okay, are we understanding? You see, I am not forcing anyone. My job is to teach the truth. And then it's up to the people if they want to receive and obey or not. And if they receive it, it's well and good. You will prosper. If not, I don't know. I will keep you in prayer. Any which ways. I was amazed when I heard that story of the man of God that he said. I understood God wants to raise up an army of the faithful. We will come to the book of Revelation chapter number 17. The army of the Lamb that defeated the dragon was called the faithful. Yes, was called the faithful. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. I want to encourage, if you don't, many are discouraged. I cannot see like Pastor Raul, you know, in this, I don't have this gift, that gift. But it's okay. Be faithful. That is what God requires of you. Be faithful. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So, these people, the first servant got 5 talents and brought it to the master. Master, I got 5 talents from the 5 talents you gave me. And the master said, good, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over few things. And that's why I will make you ruler over many things. Again, the release of authority, expansions of the influence. Expansion of the boundary. That is what is the reward of faithfulness. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. If you want instant progress and prosperity, you know, that will not last long. But through the way of faithfulness, You receive authority from the master. You know what? If you worked an $100,000 turnover business, you worked on that, you brought it to the master. It is the master increasing you to $500,000 and you are working on it. If there is any attack on that business, the master will take care of it. The authority will cover it that you have. And you will continue to grow when you are faithful. Hallelujah. That is what he's saying. Because you were faithful over a few things, I make you ruler over many things. So when he has respected and obeyed the authority over him, he himself gets the authority. That is what was the centurion saying. You know, he said, Jesus, you know what? I am not worthy for you to receive you in my house, but do one thing, you just say a word, because I myself am a man under authority. And when I say to the people under my authority, go, and he goes, come, and he comes. And then Jesus said, what? I haven't seen such a great faith. That faith word was related to the faithful life of the centurion, because he understood faithfulness to the authority he was serving under, submission to the authority he was serving under. That's why he had the revelation. That is how Jesus operated, because Jesus is faithful in all the house of his father. Are we understanding that until now? Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that is what happened to the servants who were faithful. Now, these servants were not promised anything. They just worked on the talents without any guaranteed benefits, without any assurance that the master saying, you work on the talent, you will receive rewards, you will receive positions. No, the master just said, work on it. And then the master wants to see if they are working on it or not. And then another verse that I wanted to explain you was verse 29, Matthew's chapter number 25, verse 29. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now, listen to me. Many young Christians or baby Christians, when they read the verse, they don't understand this verse. They think, oh, those who don't have what they have, even that will be taken away from them. Is that not injustice? You are not interpreting the word properly. What Jesus is saying is, those who have and who are not faithful towards it. Those who have and who are not faithful with what they have, even what they have will be taken away from them. And it will be given to him who has more. That means to the person who is faithful. See, the intention of God is that his resources are not wasted, but they increase and prosper under the stewardship of faithful servants. That is the intention of God. Can I have an amen on that? Amen. Let me come again.
Amen.
The intention of God is that his resources are not wasted, but they increase and prosper under the stewardship of a faithful servant. So if God gave me talents, God gave me gifts, God gave me the anointing, and I am sleeping on my bed doing nothing with the anointing, saying, you know what, God, if I can use my anointing, I can use the gifts, but there is no salary for me that you guaranteed to me. There is no fixed income for me. So I am not going to, since I don't draw any benefits, I don't have honor from people, I don't have a mega church, so I will not use all those things. Why will I use all those things? A time will come, God will take off that anointing and give it to a faithful man who can work on it faithfully. That is the meaning of the verse. Callings can be transferred. Anointings can be transferred. It can leave one person and go to the other person. It can happen. The Bible says about that. Now, many pastors don't believe that. I have spoken with many pastors. They give me the example of Jonah. Oh, you know what, Brother Rahul, Jonah was going to Tarshish. He had to go to Nineveh. Still, God did not forsake him. You know why? I told them, you know why God did not forsake, still use Jonah? Because there was no other option for God at that time. So he had to use Jonah. It's not about Jonah, Pastor. It's about the people of Nineveh that God wants to save. And if God wants to save the people of Nineveh, he can even use a donkey to save them. It's about the urgency of the purpose. But the Bible is a record how the anointing of Saul left Saul and went to David, the faithful of God. Yes. The anointing left Saul and went to David. I always remember, even I remember the testimony of this man of God, Reinhard Bonnke, who was saying, Lord, I don't want to leave my organization, because God told him, if you want to see a blood-washed Africa and you want to be used in the vision I showed you, if you want to have that, if you want to witness that and to be used in that vision I showed you, give resignation to your organization. He said, no, Lord, people love me there and this. And God told him, if you will not give the resignation and not obey me, I am going to someone else. When he heard God say that to him, he packed up his bag, checked out from the hotel room, and went to his house, opened the typewriter, and wrote the resignation letter. And after that, when he obeyed God, when he was faithful, I remember one of his testimony. He was coming out of the office, and that day was the day to pay the rent for his office in Africa. And he did not have money. And he told, Lord, I have to pay the rent for today. Can you send, oh Lord, can you send this? He had to pay $50 for the rent. So he said, but he was faithful. He said, can you send $50? But what the Lord said to him, why you are asking $50 from me when I am going to give you $5 million? On the street, when he heard that, he said, Hallelujah, Lord, I receive it. The rewards are for the faithful. It's better than the per month salary you get. It's better than the bonus you get from your company. The reward. Hallelujah. And okay, let me complete that story. So this man of God, Reinhard Bonnke, he had a tent crusade in Africa, in one of the countries of Africa. So he finished up the crusade and he heard the news that another great man of God who is used by God in Africa before him, he is having his crusade nearby. So he went to the crusade tent. When he went to the crusade tent, he saw them packing up. He said, what happened? Where are everyone? Where is the man of God? And the associates of the man of God told the crusade is not happening. He asked why the crusade is not happening. They said, because the man of God left ministry. He's no longer doing ministry. And then they told him the date when he left his ministry. And to his surprise, the Holy Spirit came and brought to his remembrance. It was the same day he received, the same night he received the vision of the blood-washed African continent. When he left the calling, he decided to leave the ministry. The same night, Reinhard Bonnke received the vision of the blood-washed African continent. Hallelujah. It's all about faithfulness. It's all about faithfulness. Maybe you are kept in a season where God is waiting you to introduce. He's waiting for the souls to, for the anointing to leave them, and then he will give you. And I'm telling you, that is how it happens. It's all about faithfulness. No one is special here. The one who is faithful will be used by God. The one who is faithful will prosper by the hand of God, under his authority. Hallelujah. So these servants were faithful. And they are like, they wanted to prosper under the authority. That's why, Lord, they gave the accurate account of the talents they did not say, oh, I earned 2 talents, and the 3 talents he kept for himself. No, he said, Lord, you gave me 5 talents. I earned 5 talents from it. It has happened so many times. When I prayed for people, they cracked property deals of millions of dollars after prayer. And then, after they got the breakthrough, they forgot me. They disappeared. They disappeared. That is when God gave you something and then you got more about, out of it, and then you hide from God. That is what Ananias and Sapphira did. Remember that? That was a terrible story. They came to Apostle Peter and said, "This is the money." Actually, Ananias came first. "This is the money. I sold my property and take the money." And Peter told him, "You have not lied to me. You lied to the Holy Spirit." And when he died. Why? Because it was like a person who had 5 talents, but he hid 3 talents and he brought 2 talents. "Lord, from the 5 talents you gave me, I have earned 2 talents." Hallelujah. I see Christians not opening up and testifying the greatness of God completely. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what? Sister Ruth keeps on asking after the service, does anyone has testimony? And no one come, but I know, and she knows personally, so many people have got breakthroughs, but we don't see them coming and testifying. I know people, they will, I'm not talking about people whom God told them to keep the testimony secret, but those people who have testimonies, I know so many people by prayer, they got testimony, but no one comes ahead and testify. When we open the group for testimony and prayer, 10% is testimony, 90% is all prayer. And the people who are going giving prayer request, they have testimonies, but they prefer only to show, "Oh, we still are in need," but not testify the greatness of God. When you are coming to God, you are bringing the 2 talents and hiding the 3 talents. Proclaim and show what God has done for you openly, because by that you will defeat the devil. That's what the Bible says. They shall defeat the devil, the serpent, by the word of the testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And when they don't love their life, hallelujah. But people, people, Christians have the tendency to keep things, the testimony is hidden, and to keep on release prayer requests, prayer requests. I'm not saying don't give prayer requests, but why don't you testify about the goodness of God? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But what I'm saying is, the person brought all the 5 talents. God, you know what? This is what by the 5 talents you gave me, this is what has happened. And opened it before God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got a breakthrough by prayer. You know what? You got $1 million. Then they are afraid. No, I should not tell the amount of money. Why? God gave you through prayer. Tell the amount. You see, when I give my testimonies, I give my job testimony, I tell the percentage, I tell how much I used to earn. I tell it all. That is my God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, brother, I will testify. I will tell the amount. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep it before God. God, you gave me this amount of money. You prospered me. You increased these talents. And then God will say, "You are testifying. You are accounting to me. You are submitting to me. You are giving to me. I will give you more." That's why I see people getting a certain breakthrough, and after that, as if all the doors are closed after that breakthrough. No breakthrough again, because they are not faithful. Have you seen that happening? But a true man progressing is the person who is having breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Testimony after testimony after testimony are those people who are faithful. Hallelujah. Who account to God, who give their accountability to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Okay, listen. So, So we were on Matthew's 25. Another word, Matthew's chapter number 20. Matthew's chapter number 20. And verse number, okay, verse number one onwards. Verse number one onwards. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive." So evening had come. The owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." And when those who came were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius?" Underline that. "Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" So the last will be the first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are what? Chosen. Many are called and few are chosen. I will explain that verse. I don't know if today or what, but I will explain that verse. But you see, there is a certain verse that you need to pay attention towards. And that verse is that the laborers, verse number two, that came in the first slot, the laborers who came in the first slot, verse number two, the master of the vineyard had to give them a guaranteed income for them to come, make an agreement with them. This is what it says in verse 2. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers, the first lot of laborers, agreed with the laborers for a denarius, he sent them into the vineyard. Okay? So then, when it was time for him to give the wages to the laborers, what happened there? He gave the people who came in the last slot, in the evening slot, one denarius. This first bunch people were expecting, "Oh, maybe we will receive more," but he gave them only one denarius. When you make agreement with the Lord that "I want this," you will only receive that. But when you are faithful and work for the Lord and serve the Lord, I'm not talking only about ministry when I say serve the Lord, but I am also talking about your personal devotion time. When you do it for the Lord selflessly, without an agreement, without telling him, "I want this, then I will serve you like this. Then I will do you like this," you will receive rewards. You will not receive a salary. And always remember, reward is greater than a salary. Reward is greater than a salary. Hallelujah. Salary, when you receive a salary, it will cause sorrow and put you under more dissatisfaction and put you under more burden when you receive salary. But when you receive a reward, you enter into the joy of the Lord. That is what, remember the parable, what the master said, "Because you are faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things, enter in what? Into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Christians are receiving, but they are not happy. They are not rejoicing. You know why? Because they are not faithfully working and receiving rewards, but they are working with agreements and receiving salary. That's why that thing that you received did not bring the joy of the Lord, did not bring the peace of the Lord. If you received a reward, you know what? I did not expect it, but the Lord gave. He is a rewarder not of those who work as per agreement. He is a rewarder of the faithful. He rewards faithfulness. Do we see that? The next slot workers, the third slot workers, he said, why you are standing idle? Come and work in my vineyard. They did not even ask, master, will we receive a payment? They said, you know what? We are just standing idle. Let's work for this man. Even if he has not promised us anything to give. So let's work for the man. And the man rewarded them. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who serve God faithfully. Blessed are those who serve God selflessly. Hallelujah. Even when God gives them, he delights in giving them because he is rewarding them. He is happy. Amen. Those people who work in company, secular company, the most sad day for a company is when the company has to release money for people, salary for people. They don't give the people rejoicingly. Hallelujah. But if someone has done a great thing for company and the company wants to reward that person because of the person, the company has gone into a lot of profits, the company will give that reward happily. Hallelujah. So God delights in giving the faithful servants his rewards. Delightfully he gives them. But see the difference. When he was giving the salary to the first bunch of people who worked as per an agreement, there was all complaining and discussions and all those things. They said, oh, you know what? And God told him, why you are regarding me as evil when I have given you what I agreed with you? You wanted to work as per agreement, so that's all what you get. Amen. Are we understanding? Okay, so let me come back to the definition. What the definition I told you, the first one, obeying and serving the Lord by fulfilling your commitments towards him selflessly, without eye service, without guaranteed benefits. Amen. Are we understanding now? That is the definition. And all the scriptures which talk about the faithful are that. So let's go to the second definition of the faithful. The second definition of the faithful is a person who has passed the test of the furnace of refinement. A person who has passed the test of the furnace of refinement. Okay, for me to explain that, I have to take you to the book of Revelation, chapter number 17. Revelation, chapter number 17. Verse number 12 to 14. Revelation 17. Verse number 12 to 14. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. So, who are the army of the Lamb who will overcome the system of the beast? The army of the Lamb are called, chosen, and faithful. It does not say they are called. It does not say they are called and chosen. It says they are called, chosen, and faithful. That means who have passed the test of the furnace of refinement. What is the meaning of called? What is the meaning of chosen? Okay, let me explain you that from the book of Matthews. Open your Bibles to Matthews chapter 22. Open your Bibles to Matthews 22. Okay, we will read that from verse 1 to 14. But before that, before reading that scripture, let me give you the meaning of what is called and what is chosen. Okay, because that is the parable that again explains the scripture of the called and the chosen. It says many are called, but few are chosen. And then we will look at the context and the meaning of it. The meaning of called is, called is just an invitation to serve God. That's it. Stay with me. What is called? Just an invitation to you. Invitation to you to serve God. That is called. What is chosen? Chosen is the confirmation and the allotment of the call. Chosen is the confirmation and the allotment of the call. Well, I joined a company. I gave an interview in the company. And the company recruited me and told me that 6 months, we will keep you on probation. On probation. You are not a confirmed employee. You are called and invited to work with us, but you are not confirmed. Okay? So, after you work for 6 months, if you fulfill certain parameters, we will give you an allotment letter. The allotment letter is a confirmation of your position in the company. So, the company bringing me in the company to work with them is a calling. It's an invitation to work with them is a calling. Okay? Then, when I fulfill the requirements to secure my position in the company, and they have tested me and tried me and evaluated my work and my performance for 6 months. And after 6 months, they have found that I have fulfilled the requirements. They give me a confirmation letter or an allotment letter, which is a confirmation of my position in the company that is chosen. Are we together? Okay. Now let me explain that from the scripture. Matthews chapter number 22. That is what the scripture I told you. Matthews chapter number 22. And let's read from verse number 1. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those." Calling is an invitation of the marriage here. Okay? "To call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their city. Then he said to the servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy.'" It is talking about the Jewish people. They were called, but they rejected the call to receive Jesus as their Messiah and to serve him. You see that? That is a call. Call is just an invitation. Gospel is another invitation letter for you to come into the kingdom of God. Many are called. Almost all the world are called. All the people of the world are called. That is the meaning of called. Mm-hmm. The Jewish people were called, but they rejected the call. Not even came into the chosen category. Okay, let's go to verse 9. "Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So that is the meaning of the word, many are called. It signifies the parable where now the outside people, who the people on the highways were called, on the streets were called. Okay, and they came to the wedding, but out of them, one person did not fulfill the requirements to come and to be a guest of the wedding by not putting on the wedding garments. You see that? And because he did not fulfill the requirements of the probation period of the call, he was not chosen. So to be called is something. To be chosen is for you to be confirmed as a servant in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Many people have got this wrong. Many great prophets says, I was born as a prophet from the mother's womb. That's wrong. That's not biblical. And then they use the example of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah, they say, was born as a prophet. Jeremiah was never born as a prophet from the mother's womb. John the Baptist was never born as a prophet from the mother's womb. They were called a prophet. They had an invitation letter, a calling upon their life. For Jeremiah to become the chosen prophet, he had to live a lifestyle laid out as per the requirement of the call. And when he lived that lifestyle, he became the chosen prophet who was called. Are we understanding that? John the Baptist had a certain lifestyle. You know what? He had to live in the wilderness all his younger days, eat wild honey and locusts. That was the requirement for the confirmation. And he did that. When he did that, he became a voice. He became the chosen. Do you understand? But the Bible says, those who will be in the army of the Lamb will not only be the called and the chosen, but the called, chosen, and faithful. Hallelujah. People of God, are you there? Say amen.
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 Called. Do you know? Do you understand now? The definition of called is an invitation to serve God. The definition of chosen is the confirmation and allotment of your position, of the call that is given to you. And the definition of faithful I have already given. Now, in this context, is the person who has passed the furnace of refinement. When you are chosen, remember last Sunday, I spoke on Ezekiel chapter number 8. And I spoke on the levels where God trains you. The first level was the image of jealousy. I remember I told you who are the birth owners. The birth owners will try their best to take you back. To take you back to the old life. Disconnect you from the priesthood of Jesus. But when you are faithful there. Lord, you know what? I prayed for the money to come. But the money did not come. But still, I will worship you more. I will pray more. That is what God looks in a person. When I became a Christian, I used to go to choir practice. Now, I am not sharing my testimony for the glory of what I did, but for the people of God to understand faithfulness and God's name to be glorified. But when I became a Christian, I had to go to the choir practice. And that church, I used to go to the choir practice. If the choir practice is 7 o'clock, I will go 6:55, reach there and stand there. After going to my office, I will come back from my office, get ready. And when I had to go that to that place, it was around 12 kilometers away. And I had no money. So I had to leave early to walk to that place. And I would walk for 45 minutes, 1 hour to reach that place before time. When I used to end up in that place, 7 o'clock was the choir practice. 6:55, I reached there walking because I did not have money. So I reached there walking, and I stood there. When I go and stand there, the house, the people, the choir leader who is supposed to host the practice is in the shopping mall shopping. And when I call them at 7:05, 7:10, no one is there. The house is locked. They would say, oh, you know what? We will come by 8:30. They will come by 9. And they will come by 9, 2 hours late. And they will practice. I was in that practice. No honor, no appreciation. For 3.5 years, the same thing I will do. I will go there, stand, and these people will be late. In the church, church is at 8:30. I will come to the church 7 o'clock because the mics and the speakers had to be arranged. Because you know, before you come there, God is already available there. When I give time to the Lord here that I will be 9 p.m. Eastern time in this place, God is already there. And I know that. And I come for him. So 8:30 the church will start. So I go 7 o'clock and I will take the speakers. I will be sweating alone, no one to help. But I will put the speaker because I know though no one is working, I sing songs. I put the speaker, I put the cords, I put the mixer, I set up everything. And 8:30 church starts. The choir team will come at 9:15. I'm waiting. A pastor will come at 8:45. No respect. No respect for God. And then, 1 year I was in that choir group, they would take other people who are coming as guests in the church to play the guitar. And here I am, 1 year, they are not even allowing me to touch the stage. But I had no complaints. I had no complaints because I was serving the Lord and not men. And when they will come late, they will say, put the cord, increase the volume, increase. The keyboardist will say, increase my volume. The guitarist will say, increase my volume. You know what? All those people, after 10 years, all those people who were there have gone down in their faith life, are still in their routine life. But God raised me up from there to become a servant and gave me a ministry to the nations. Faithfulness. By no means I am glorying in my work, but I am teaching you how to be faithful. How to be faithful. Are we understanding? What was happening to me there was the furnace of refinement. Yes. What was happening to me there was the furnace of refinement. The one whose faith is tested and his faith stands and he still serves God. I did not say, you know what, from 3 years, they are treating me like this. I will stop going to that church. I still went. I still did my responsibility. Hallelujah. I did not have money. Then I got some money after 2 years. I used to take a bus and go there. Hallelujah. I started from scratch. I started from scratch. And it is the way of faithfulness that took me up. And I know how God prospers. It is the faithful he looks upon. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? I don't find people like that. I don't find people like that. Hallelujah. Amen. When nothing is happening, no rewards, no appreciation, nothing. Everyone around you is unfaithful. You be faithful to God. You be faithful to God. That's why I am so faithful, because you will always see me on time. You will always see me on the screen because my life, I have lived like that. And I cannot ignore to be faithful towards God and towards his service, towards his work. Are we understanding, people of God? Furnace of refinement. Furnace of refinement. That is the furnace of refinement, where nothing is happening around you, but God's eyes are upon you. Can he become the faithful? He is chosen. Now, can he become the faithful? Remember, I told you last service, this image of jealousy fights against you. Once you overcome it, you go to the next level, that is the creeping creatures, the abominable, the serpentine family. That is where God declares you to the devil as his seed. So when you listen to me very carefully, when you become the seed of God, declares you as a seed. This is my servant. This is my seed. He proclaims it to the devil. You know, that is a promotion that comes with a tax. When God declares you, I wanted to cover other things, but let me not cover it. Daniel chapter number 3, verse 16 onwards. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, O king, we have no need to answer you in this matter, because we will not bow down to your golden image. And if so, you will put us in the fire. Our God will deliver us. And if not so, we are ready to be burned in the furnace of fire. But we will not bow down. That is the furnace of refinement. The furnace of refinement comes with a lot of tests, which will test you whether you bow down. But you say, even if I die, I will not bow down. I will hold my ground in the Lord, in the word of the Lord, in serving the Lord, and not an idol. And then when they were put in the furnace of fire, Jesus showed up. Many hold the mic to preach Jesus, but they are not faithful. In other words, they did not go to the furnace of fire. In other words, they did not meet Jesus Christ. You are not eligible to preach the gospel if you have not met up with the Lord Jesus, your master. And he will meet up with you when you are in the furnace of fire. He will show up in the fire. Many people hold their mic and they are preaching theory. In reality, they never met with Jesus. They have never seen Jesus Christ. They never had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And they are preaching about a person whom they don't even know. But Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego knew Jesus because they were in the furnace of fire. The faithful are the ones who know the Lord, really, who have met with the Lord. Amen. Who have met with the Lord, who know the Lord. Because when you go into the furnace of fire, you know what? And again, another chapter, Job chapter 1, I don't have time. You will see God declaring Job to Satan. Have you seen my servant Job? God declaring Job to Satan. And that promotion came with a furnace of refinement. And after he passed the furnace of refinement, he was the faithful of God. He was the faithful of God. He was the faithful of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I cannot,
Amen.
I would not have spoken about, I could not speak about my Lord if I did not meet him, but I have met him in my fire. I have met him in the furnace. I have encountered him so many times. And he has enabled his grace for me to speak about him. Hallelujah. Amen. Nowadays, it's very casual to become a preacher. People just like that become a preacher, but you cannot become a preacher. You cannot become a teacher of his ways if you have not met him. And if you have not met him, that means you have not gone through the furnace of refinement. It is in the furnace of fire he will show up and he will meet up with you. When you go in that and you say, I am not going to bow my back to any idol of the world, I will stand for my Lord. I will serve only him. Let the world turn away. Let the whole church stop praying. But I will pray. I will worship. I will praise. I will read the word. I will pray. Hallelujah. 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 That is a faithful man. That is a faithful man. Even if I don't have anything, I will serve him. I will worship him. I will ever increase my time of prayer. I will not leave you, God. I will not leave you. If you want to know this God, there needs to be violence in you, aggressiveness in you to know him. Hallelujah. For knowing him. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Let me end here. Faithfulness, these are the two. Yes, you know what? When I was hearing the testimony of the man of God, whom God told to train the church to be faithful, there from the testimony I came to know that God is not interested in numbers. God is interested to train the army of the faithful. Those who were with the Lamb were the faithful. Do you want to be with the Lamb? Do you want to be in His army? You have to be faithful. You have to be faithful. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray. God is raising up an army of the faithful ones. I know very well that everyone cannot digest the word I gave them. Many of them have vomited it out. They did not receive it. But God is interested in the faithful one. God is interested in the faithful one. Can He call you His faithful one? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you. May we be your faithful ones, Lord. You have always been faithful. The Bible says, even though we are unfaithful, He is faithful. But the question is, are we ready to be faithful to Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is always faithful. You don't pray for 10 months, still He will provide for you. He is faithful. See His faithfulness. Hallelujah. The Bible says, He who has called you is faithful. So our God is so good. Our God is so good. He is faithful to us and He has been so good. You know, He is more patient with you than any man. If it was the most patient man or person on the earth, He would have lost patience with me. But God was patient and He is always patient with His people because He wants His people to learn faithfulness. It's not about gifts and all those things. It all boils down to one thing. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to God? Are you faithful to Him? Are you obeying Him and serving Him to fulfill your commitment selflessly without eye service, without expecting guaranteed benefits? Are you complaining about the furnace of refinement, or are you ready to pass through it with joy, saying like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, that we will not bow down even if we die in that furnace. We will go through it, but we will not compromise. Oh, are you ready to do that? Those are the faithful ones who have passed the furnace of refinement. They have met up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, hallelujah. God wants to refine His people for God to make His people faithful. Faithful in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray, my Master, that raise up the army of the faithful ones, because the Bible says that is the army of the Lamb who will defeat the system of the beast. I am telling you, we are living in times of the beast system. And if you want to walk above the realms of the world, you need to become a faithful of God who will defeat the system of the beast. The Bible is so clear. It is not only the called, not the chosen ones, but the called, chosen and faithful who are with the Lamb and they overcome the beast. Yes, in the name of Jesus, raise up the army of the faithful. Raise up the army of the faithful in Jesus' name. I want to tell you, God is looking at you. There are some things you are not having. You are just lacking. Don't complain. It's just a test. It is a test. God is looking at your reaction. How do you respond? Just continue to fulfill your service towards God in whatever situation you have. Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in the word of God. Be faithful in the house of God, in the church, in the meetings of God. Be faithful in giving to the Lord. Be faithful in your office that God has given you to work. Be faithful in your business. As to the Lord and not to men, be faithful. Come on, let us evaluate every aspect of our life and tell God, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you will help us. And Lord, by your word, you have already helped us to teach us to be the faithful, to be the faithful. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, raise up the army of faithful. We want to thank once again for this time. Oh Lord, how much ever the enemy tries to come against your people and your word, but you have the victory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, Lord. I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus. Even the meetings on Saturday and Sunday, we give it into your hands, Lord. We cover all the people with the blood of Jesus. And in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and we say, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.